got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about, cause you were so excited.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening to us, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in during your lunch hour. If you missed any of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. So last week, I bookmarked this because I knew that I wanted to take time to read it. But Natalie Eilbert, who published a story that she's been working on for since June, that looks into the fact that minors in Wisconsin need approval for physical and mental care and basically don't have any recourse if their parents refuse. And I think for a lot of us who have very loving parents, the situation that arises where your parents wouldn't want what's best for you or to provide care doesn't always seem top of mind, but there are a lot of people who are under 18 who that is not the case for in Wisconsin. And she highlights a lot of those stories, both the specific ones and larger trends. And so thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today, Natalie.
Thanks so much for having me, Kristen.
So let's just summarize kind of the bigger issue right now that you found and what like prompted you to look into this further.
Yeah, so it kind of fell into my lap last year when I was interviewing House of Hope, which is a shelter, a homeless shelter and support program support place up in Green Bay. And Beth Hudak, who works for House of Hope, mentioned the frustrations she's experienced with trying to get homeless unaccompanied youth the care that they need. And what it means to be unaccompanied is your parent or legal guardian isn't in the picture. That could be a result of their being homeless themselves, they're incarcerated, you fled home because of it being unsafe, or you were kicked out. With these minors in particular, if something happens to them, they just don't have any recourse, whether it's trying to seek a prescription, get an x-ray done on a broken bone, have something fixed that they need fixed, like a broken leg or, access to a therapist for the years and years of trauma they've experienced. All of those under Wisconsin law require a signature from a parent or legal guardian. And again, sometimes that's really difficult for, doctors and hospitals providers to obtain. Sometimes it's just, the parent or legal guardian refuses to sign the document that would give consent to providers taking care of these minors. So that's how I got involved, because I went into it with skepticism. I didn't think this was possible, that kids could experience such neglect from both their parents and then surrounding systems. But what I learned from talking to young people is indeed there are these really dangerous barriers to care.
And I think, because I want to break this down a little bit further as far as the estimated number of minors experiencing homelessness, and we could walk through a little bit more of the different definitions, but the homelessness of minors in Wisconsin alone is potentially approaching 20,000. Because there's at least in your article, it said the last kind of like hard number was from 2019, 2020, which obviously was when everything started to get upended with COVID. And that was 17,000. But estimates now said it could be up to 20, which is...
That's right.
It's an enormous number for a fairly small state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it is surprising until we think about what homelessness means. It's not always living in a tent on the street, although that does happen. These are kids who are couch hopping. What's called doubling up. They're living with families. They're in and out of homeless shelters. there's just so many different ways that someone can be homeless, whether they have a roof over their head or not. Mm-hmm. If they don't have consistent care at home, if they don't have a home to return to, if they don't have a reliable adult in their lives or a legal guardian, their whole life can be so easily upended.
And so that, I think, is sometimes a situation as far as separating out the definitions, because I think for a lot of us, sometimes when we think of homelessness, we think of people living on the streets, whether it's adults or minors. And one of the things I think is important is even reframing the definition or using things as adjectives versus nouns, and saying someone who's experiencing homelessness, because it is sometimes they're couch hopping, they're living in a car, they have a spot until they don't have a spot. And so is that what you found more of as far as the minors between, I think, the House of Hope, Project 1649, and different homes that are trying to be a safe space for minors who are trying to get out of a bad situation at their house, but don't have, let alone the legal knowledge of what is available to them, but even, you know, the wherewithal is being a 16-year-old trying to figure this all out.
Yeah, and an important distinction is that a majority of homeless shelters in Wisconsin don't have licensing to take care of kids younger than 17. There's only two in the state that will even accept 0 to 17-year-olds. And that, you know, a lot of places like Project 1649 are working to change that, though right now they can only shelter young people between the ages of 17 and 21, I believe that's the number. But there's a lot of limitations for who can find shelter and what's legally possible. I know that, you know, a lot of young people who are homeless have parents who are extremely young too. So their House of Hope is one of the few places that accepts teenage mothers who are homeless. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other situation too. But yeah, it's all... it's a big mess right now when it comes to taking care of young people.
Well, we're talking to Natalie Eilbert, who is a mental health reporter for the USA Today Network in Central Wisconsin, and about her piece that she that was published last week on the lack of recourse for minors who need care but don't have a parental unit to sign off, because in Wisconsin you need your parents to agree for you to receive both physical and mental health care. And so I guess, not that I would imagine to know much about the, you know, child health services system and when it's foster care and the state getting involved, but it feels like there's a negligence with at least one of the stories you wrote about in your piece is a young woman who had a broken leg and her father refusing her to get care, and the long-term ramifications that will happen from that as far as her leg not healing correctly, but truly the doctor's hands in that case are tied. And I guess my question is, how is that not negligence? How is that something that the state doesn't end up getting involved in?
It's so complicated. So one way to think about this is from the perspective of Wisconsin law. It's completely legal. There aren't laws that would say neglecting to sign that type of paperwork is abuse. Of course it is. It can be. But that has to go through a bunch of different people, right? Like if the CPS Child Protective Services get involved at that point, a lot of kids actually don't want to have their parents in the system. They don't want to be in the system. You know, it's a question of what can, if the parent or legal guardian refuses to get care for this person, to take care of them, who's responsible? There's no one who can say, that can stand up and say, I will do it. I mean, there are cases where people, like, you know, doctors may decide, you know, I want to take care of this person anyway, and they'll reach out and do the proper, take the proper steps, but it may not be in their control. Hospitals right now are really at overcapacity. It's really hard to keep everything straight. And a lot of times it's difficult calculus for doctors to get involved in something that is, again, technically legal.
Natalie, I just want to clarify so I can wrap my head around this. So an abusive parent could dislocate their child's arm and then elect not to have that treated. And unless Child Protective Services is called in by someone, that's fine.
I wouldn't say fine. I don't know the extent to which that is abuse. That is physical abuse. So if someone actively breaks the arm of their child, that, you know, police may get involved with that. And then it's not in the hands of doctors anymore. There are legal issues involved with this. I imagine that a doctor may feel obligated to make a phone call, but it doesn't always happen, as in the case of this one girl who, because her father didn't sign, she had to go home and the doctors felt terrible. I think she was taken care of by Project 1649. They were able to do what they could for her. They worked with case managers, they worked with, they confided goal, but it's really complicated. And again, not everyone wants those charges pressed. People don't want to be put into the system, because once you're in the system, it's really hard to get out of it. So it's more complicated than simply having, you know, CPS intervene. It's more complicated than simply having a parent reported for child neglect. There's a lot of other steps that are going on here.
This was the quote that I pulled out that I feel like is kind of the crux of what the story is. And so it's a story that serves as a metaphor for Wisconsin's current medical system where minors are concerned. Not meeting the medical needs of young people can lead to permanent damage, whether the issue at play is as visible as a broken leg or as invisible as mental health disorders. Because that was one of the other stories you featured as part of the report, is not only access to a therapist, but access to meds that are needed, and really the ability to, whatever the mental disorder or condition that you're trying to live with as a young person, knowing that you need that and still needing your parents to sign off on it, and how much long-term damage that can create.
Yeah, and you know, that brings to mind the story of Desi, who's the main character in some ways of this tale. If you look at that case, it has all the ingredients of neglect, right, and abuse. And yet still, just to answer your question a little bit farther, Jane, that father still has rights to her medical care, even though he has a huge, a staggering police record, even though he has been reported to the police before, and Desi was the only one seemingly acting like an adult, he still can sign off on her care. You know, she told me that she recently, in my last phone call with her, she actually had broken or strained her wrist, and she was just taking care of it herself, because the alternative is she has to contact her father again. And when you've been abused by somebody, you don't want them in your life. And she doesn't want him in her life. So she's willing to, you know, elevate her arm and do what she needs to do.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but still have you come back and talk more about what resources are available and what legislation has been even proposed to amend this. Our guest is Natalie Eilbert, who is a mental health reporter with USA Today Network Central Wisconsin. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
'Cause you said forever, now I drive alone past your street.
Yeah, you said forever.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Natalie Eilbert, who is a mental health reporter for USA Today Central Wisconsin. And we were talking about her fantastic piece that was published last week, talking about that in Wisconsin, minors need approval for physical and mental care from their adult, their parents. And for a lot of minors, that is detrimental. And there is not a lot of recourse for them to be able to get the care that they need if they are in a situation where their parent is not the parent that many of us have as far as wanting what's best for us. And so as you've been researching this, what was the background? Because we're one of 16 states that this is the how our laws are set up to protect, I imagine, minors. And so what is the argument for this law?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of reasons why, and I can't speak to the other 15 states, but in Wisconsin, there is this law, Defense of Infancy. And Defense of Infancy has really good intentions. You don't want a 15-year-old signing a credit card contract and then suddenly their credit is messed up. And, you know, that's a really great example of why you would want to intervene as a parent. But like any law, there's a lot of hubris in this, because once you prevent a minor from signing a contract, they can't open a bank account, which is really harmful if you are on your own and you don't have anybody. You can't sign medical records, as we were talking about. It's really hard to, you know, get any kind of independent stability if you are unable to sign a contract. I mean, think about all the ways that you sign contracts in a given day, and then realize if you couldn't sign that, you'd be in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the limits if a kid is, or a minor is experienced, or they don't know who their legal guardian is at some point. You know, they've been in the system, they've been thrown around. A lot of kids have been couch surfing for so long because of negligent parents or legal guardians that, you know, when it comes time to get the signature they need, they have no idea who it is they even need to reach out to. So that becomes a really huge problem when you're desperate for care.
And so has there been legislation, or is there anyone in our state legislature who is sponsoring, proposing amendments to this, or where are we as far as, it sounds like, as far as what I interpreted from your report, the only recourse to this problem is a legal one, is actually changing the laws.
Yeah, that's a way. Yeah, that's I think the biggest thing to get over. This would be a huge hurdle that would no longer be there. You know, in 2019, House of Hope, who we've been talking about, the organization was able to pass Act 22, which allowed 17-year-olds to be admitted to adult homeless shelters. That allows for that specific group to get they can go into a homeless shelter and volunteer to be admitted, and they're given all the treatment of an adult who is experiencing homelessness. But because of the law, they still can't access medical bills, or I'm sorry, not medical bills, medical rights, really medical autonomy in general. So one of the laws that was proposed was a safe harbor law. And this was, you know, and safe harbor means essentially that those who are experiencing sex trafficking, victims of sex trafficking, aren't treated as criminals in the adult or juvenile courts. we know that sex traffickers are, you know, stalking or finding, you know, they're finding young people and they're taking them and they're forcing them to do things against their will. And if law enforcement intervenes, that is when they're treated like adults. It's when they commit a crime. In 2020, the safe harbor law to amend this criminal act died in committee. So this was supposed to take away this discipline or punitive part of what's, you know, this victim is experiencing. Without this amendment, a lot of victims of sex trafficking don't come forward because they don't want to face the legal repercussions. They get trapped in a cycle. And then the other law right now that died in committee, or proposal that died in committee, I should say, would have allowed the window of consent in Wisconsin to reflect the federal window of consent when it comes to getting kids into a homeless shelter. So children and adolescents who are under 17 right now in Wisconsin, if they end up in a homeless shelter and that shelter is licensed to take them, they have to get consent of the parent or legal guardian. And a lot of times it isn't because the parent is neglectful. It's that they're homeless themselves. Mm-hmm. So trying to track down where this parent or legal guardian is can take more than 12 hours. Federal consent windows have this at 72 hours. So, you know, if we can't find, you know, the parent to consent or the legal guardian to consent to a child or adolescent being at a homeless shelter, they essentially get kicked out. So that's another thing that can be done. That bill also, or that proposal also died in committee. So both of those things happened in 2020, which makes sense because, I mean, there was the pandemic and there was a lot going on. But
there wasn't a lot of work that year.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that, you know, people can make, like, be aware of is that if you talk to your representative, you can make sure that these bills are put forth again. But, you know, the other thing that people can do is to say, like, we need to change this we need to get rid of this defense of infancy law or revise it so that children and adolescents can obtain their own medical rights if they need it, if they have no other choice.
Well, thank you so much for your reporting on this. It's so important, and it seems like you've started a conversation for more people to know about this, talk about this, and actually look for solutions for these minors and having them have more autonomy. So, Natalie Eilbert, thank you so much for joining us today. She is a mental health reporter for USA Today Network, Central Wisconsin, and we'll have you back soon. All right, we'll take one break.